This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Today on Joy Drive, we're diving into a critical roadmap for change in LGBTIQA+ health and well-being across Australia. As we head toward the 2025 federal election, LGBTIQ+ Health Australia is calling on all political parties to commit to bold, measurable action backed by funding, policy reform, and lived experience. Joining us is Carolyn Gillespie, Chair of LGBTIQ+ Health Australia, to unpack their key election priorities, what's at stake, and what responses, if any, we've seen so far from the political players. Carolyn, welcome to Joy Drive.
Yes, hello, good afternoon, and good afternoon to all of your listeners.
What is the significance of the National Action Plan for the health and well-being of LGBTQIA+ people?
Yeah, so this is a really significant action plan which was developed in deep consultation and co-design with our communities. So our federal government has worked with us in partnership to really have experts at the table to really address for the very first time for Australia an action plan to look at the health and wellbeing differences that our community experience. So really looking at impacts for us across stigma and discrimination and across the whole range of ways in which our health suffers and that we have worse health outcomes than our mainstream counterparts.
What tangible outcomes would Australians see if the National Action Plan receives the funding support that it needs?
Yeah, so the National Action Plan was a really big landmark plan that was delivered a couple of months back. Mm-hmm. So what we've been asking for is the National Health Peak. And for those in your communities who are listening who may not know what LHA or LGBTIQ+ Health Australia is, we're the National Peak organisation to address the health disparities experienced by our communities. So we're a member-based organisation, and there are many organisations across Australia, including here in Victoria, Switchboard, Thorn Harbour Health, Transgender Victoria, who are really leading the charge to look at measurable and concrete impacts and things that we can do to address our health disparities. So what we've been calling for is, it's great that we have this plan, but what we're now looking for is some money and some funding for implementation against those measures. So that includes us looking at investment for actions to address the particular needs of LGBTIQ+ people in our national suicide strategy, to address particular things such as the way that our communities experience sexual, domestic and family violence, and of course to have better access to healthcare around a whole range of just general health matters and also around sexual and reproductive health.
Yeah, and I guess like short-term funding is often the way that governments fund a lot of initiatives, and particularly the ones that you're put forward. Why is baseline funding for LHA and LGBTIQ+ community-controlled organisations so crucial? And what risks does short-term funding create?
Look, I think with short-term funding, the impacts of that are really well known. You lose a lot of the knowledge base. It's hard to get traction over time. And particularly around things that are really important, the role of our community-controlled health organisations is really to have the deep expertise about the needs of our communities. Organisations like Thorn Harbour and like Switchboard and like Transgender Victoria are all really deeply trusted by our communities, and they're best placed with as members of LHA to really support us to deliver the kinds of healthcare that our communities need. And that includes things like gender-based healthcare and gender-affirming healthcare, which of course we've seen be really in the firing line nationally to really support our trans and gender diverse community members.
Absolutely. We're all hearing all the different parts of the world. It's quite sad, actually, just the recent court decision in the UK and, of course, the United States and their anti-trans and anti-non-gender policies that are coming out there, which is quite alarming. Have you seen... What have you seen in relation to the effects it's had on our trans and gender diverse people within Australia?
Look, I think we all know that our communities are really impacted when there's speech that is hateful or contributes to stigma and discrimination. I think that's a really clear thing. And we often see that people then reach out and there's more distress in the community. So it's really important and beholden to our leaders across the country to be really thoughtful about how they talk about our communities.
Yeah.
But one of the key things that we have at LHA is really wanting to be grounded by what the evidence tells us about what is best practice. So that's why national studies such as the Private Lives Study are so critically important, and that's a study run by the Australian Centre for Research, Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University's big national study, which has been secured some funding out of the national plan. And that's really critical for us because it allows us to go back to what the evidence says, and that actually supports us to stay out of ideological debate and go back to actually practical realities in delivering healthcare.
Yeah, that's critical. You're listening to Joy Drive on Joy 94.9, and we're chatting with Carolyn Gillespie, Chair of LGBTIQ Plus Health Australia, or LHA, unpacking the key policy priorities ahead of the upcoming federal election. Carolyn, has LHA received any formal commitments or feedback from major or minor political parties in response to this document that you've put together?
Every election, we put out an election ask, and that's why we have sent that document to all of the politicians right across the political divide. We have had an announcement by the Labor government last Monday on the 14th of April, where they made a $10 million election commitment to strengthen Medicare for our communities. And really what they're wanting to do with that is to improve access to inclusive and culturally safe primary care, so GPs and things. And I guess what they're recognising out of that is that often that barrier to accessing care where people feel understood and known, and where you have practitioners who are confident and skilled and sensitive to working with our communities, will make a significant difference in people's ability to access the healthcare that they need. And so that money is there to really help healthcare providers to improve their skills and knowledge to deliver inclusive healthcare to our communities. And there'll be an accreditation program attached to that so that community members can find the healthcare providers that have done that training and can help people find those safe and trusted services.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. I'm going to go deep diving into one of the areas within the report that you've produced, or the policy proposals you've put forward, which is around targeted housing investment for LGBTIQ plus people, especially youth.
Yes.
What does safe and affirming housing look like in practice?
Yeah, look, I think housing is one of those areas where we see really significant and particular distress for our communities. Of course, many young people in particular end up in insecure housing or into homelessness because of stigma, discrimination and family rejection. And then again, once people are in those homelessness systems where we know that there's a real lack of safe housing for everybody, let alone people with particular needs from our communities, what we find then is the actual process of being within those systems is inherently unsafe for people, and indeed people experience further experiences of violence. So we do need to have housing options for folks that are safe, that are able to be spaces where people can affirm who they are, because we know when we get those fundamentals in place, it actually helps people to recover and to get themselves to a different and more stable place in their lives.
Yeah, and I was interested to read in the proposals as well around aged care as well, where people can be have suitable residences and facilities for people who, like older Australians who identify within our community.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a thing that we hear about and talk about in our communities, which is this idea of going back in the closet when we age, and there's often a lot of fear and very legitimate fear about what does it mean to become vulnerable and need more care as people age. And so LHA nationally has been running the Silver Rainbow program, which is a program that is designed to support aged care facilities to have a much better capacity to acknowledge, understand and attend to LGBTI people who are aging, and particularly for aged care settings and service providers to be much more sensitive to the needs of our community. So that's a really critical thing for us to do. And particularly when we're looking at a lot of the very diligent aged care workforce, often being first generation migrants to Australia as well. So we have a responsibility to those workers who are often doing incredible caring work to support them to be skilled up to also care as best they can for the needs of our community members.
Yeah, and particularly if they've come from different parts of the world, which the people like our community are not visible. So it's something that is just completely unusual or foreign to them.
That's exactly right. So it may never have been conceptualised, or it may indeed have been something that was criminalised in some of those countries. So we have a big and important piece of education work to do with those staff to really support them to understand the needs of our communities.
Yeah, building their understanding. What can listeners do to support the push for these health and wellbeing policy priorities in their lead up to the election?
Yeah, so on LGBTIQ Plus Health Australia's website, which is lgbtiqplus.org.au, you will see a full copy of the election asks. So people can go to the website and have a look at those. We really encourage people to contact their local members, to get involved. There was also a town hall that was held on Tuesday of last week, so on the 15th. And so that is online and people can have a look at that. And that was a Rainbow Votes election forum. And that was really a way to understand the different policy positions and policy platforms across the spectrum and across the divide. So I really encourage people to do a bit of reading and get a sense of who their local members are and to vote for those folks who are really going to do best by our communities.
Yeah, that's some good advice. Thank you so much. That's all we have time for today. Thank you, Carolyn, and thank you to your team for the vital work that you're doing to improve health outcomes across our community.
You're welcome.
That was Carolyn Gillespie, Chair of LGBTIQ Plus Health Australia, talking to us about their 2025 federal election policy priorities. If you would like to read the full report or find out how to support these calls for action, head to lgbtiqhealth.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.